Today on Telling the Truth.
Will the day of the Lord be glorious or will it be dreadful? And the answer is yes. Yes. It will be absolutely dreadful, for some will see him and mourn that they rejected him. But others, it will be glorious, for they will see him and they say, we've been waiting for you. We've been saying over and over again, even so come, Lord Jesus. We have been anticipating his return. So ask yourself a question. It's a very basic question. Will the coming of the Lord be a glorious day for you or a dreadful day for you?
Today on Telling the Truth, Stuart Briscoe continues his message, The Uncertain Certainty of Christ's Return, where he shares what you can know for sure about when Jesus returns. We want to help you live with confidence, even while facing an uncertain future, by sending you Pete Briscoe's 6-message teaching on the end times called How the Story Ends. This encouraging resource explains Daniel's end times visions and peels away the mystery in this prophetic book of the Bible. How the Story Ends is our way to thank you for your gift to help Telling the Truth stay on the air and online. So call now to get your copy of How the Story Ends, 1-800-889-5388, 1-800-889-5388, or go online to tellingthetruth.org. Now, here's Stuart Briscoe with his message, The Uncertain Certainty of Christ's Return.
The only sign of his coming you and I are going to get is his coming. Don't be looking around for all kinds of signs of his coming. Ah, here's a sign of his coming. There's a sign of his coming. Oh, look, there's another sign of his coming. Jesus said, no, the sign of my coming will be, I'm here. I'm here. That's it. Totally unexpected by many, many people. Now says the Lord Jesus, when the end sign appears in the sky, at that particular moment, two things will happen. All the nations of the world will see it, and they will mourn. Now, that is a quotation from Zechariah chapter 12. Zechariah says, in effect, that the day is coming when they will look on the one whom they pierced, and they will grieve. John takes this quote from Zechariah and applies it to the crucifixion. Jesus seems to take that particular statement and apply it to the fact that the crucified risen Lord will return. And when the risen Lord returns, apparently in his resurrection body, at that particular time we will see him, and presumably his risen body will bear in it the marks of Calvary. And they will see the one whom they pierced, and they will mourn because they rejected him. But now he's not the Christ child, the helpless little one in the manger. Now he is the triumphant Lord with his ensign unfurled, coming with the holy angels to bring an end to this age and to establish his eternal kingdom in a new heaven and a new earth. And many at that moment will realize the enormity of their mistake. Many will see him and mourn. However, on the other hand, this is what he says, verse 31, and he will send his angels with a loud trumpet call, and they will gather his elect from the four winds, from one end of the heavens to the other. So what now is going to happen? Well, the downside is, when he appears, there will be many who mourn, but when he appears, there will be many who are ecstatic with delight, for he will gather his people, whom he's been working on since the ascension, right up to the coming again of Jesus. He will gather his people, his chosen people, the people who were committed to living for God down here on earth, and he'll gather them from the four corners of the earth. And that will be a time when those who have looked for his appearing, who've anticipated his kingdom, who'd lived in the light of the promise of his return, will see him face to face. Now, when Peter preached on the day of Pentecost, it's very fascinating because he quoted the minor prophet Joel. Now, actually, he misquoted the minor prophet Joel. Speaking of the day of the Lord, this is what Joel said. He described it as the great and dreadful day of the Lord. But do you know what Peter said? He talked about the great and glorious day of the Lord. Here's the question. Will the day of the Lord be glorious or will it be dreadful? And the answer is yes. Yes. It will be absolutely dreadful, for some will see him and mourn that they rejected him. For others, it will be glorious, for they will see him and they say, "We've been waiting for you. We've been saying over and over again, even so come, Lord Jesus." We have been anticipating his return. So ask yourself a question. It's a very basic question. Will the coming of the Lord be a glorious day for you or a dreadful day for you? And you can answer it yourself. It will be determined by our attitude towards him today. So this is what Jesus goes on to explain. Now he says the summoning of the elect will be with the sound of a trumpet. How literal this is, I have no way of knowing. But it's very interesting to see how the Apostle Paul picked up on this idea when he wrote to the Thessalonians. I'm going to read to you a few verses from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13. "Brothers," he said, "we do not want you to be ignorant about those who fall asleep, or to grieve like the rest of men who have no hope. We believe that Jesus died and rose again. And so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who've fallen asleep in him. According to the Lord's own word, we tell you that we who are still alive, who are left till the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. Now listen, for the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so will we be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage each other with these words." You encouraged? You encouraged? I've talked to some people between services, they're frightened to death. They're frightened to death. But at least they're thinking seriously about something they've never even thought about before. That the fact that things are not just going to keep on keeping on. They're not just going to continue on as they are now. There will be a time when God brings to a consummation things as we know them, and his Son will return, new heaven, new earth, and a glorious kingdom will be established. And those who are the people of God will know it, and those who are not will be separated from it. Now, Jesus said, "Now let me tell you a story." I bet they were ready for a story at this point. "Let me tell you a story." He said, "As soon as you look at the fig tree and its twigs grow tender and its leaves come out, what do you know?" Everybody who was listening to him knew that. When you looked at a fig tree, if you lived in the Middle East and you look at them all the time, you notice at a certain time of year, their twigs grow tender and the leaves begin to come out. "And what do you know about that?" he said. "Oh, it's springtime." "And what do you know about springtime?" "Summer is just around the corner." "Summer is just around the corner." He said, "Exactly." Now he said, "When you see all these signs, all these things I've been talking about," so, "Oh, which signs?" "Well, I've just told you. All the distressing times, all the difficult times, all the dangerous times. When you see all these things, epitomized in the destruction of Jerusalem, when you see all these signs, know something. The coming of the Lord draws near, because we're not to look for lots of signs of the times. The sign of his coming will be what? His coming. His coming. That's it. All the signs that point to his coming have already been fulfilled. In fact, Jesus said in microcosm, they were all fulfilled in the very generation that was listening to him speak at that particular time. Now, you say, you know, this is so way out. This is so weird, this stuff. I don't know. I really don't know what to make of this thing. I mean, if Jesus is so near, how come it's 2,000 years since he left? Well, you can be near and delayed. You can be near and delayed. I did a funeral for a Vietnam veteran one day. He was a former helicopter pilot. And they told me at the end of the service of commitment, at the internment, they wanted to have a formation of helicopters fly by, the missing comrade formation. Usually there would be four of them in a squadron, and three of them would come with a very obvious gap in the formation. I said, when are you going to do it? They said, as soon as you have prayed the prayer of commitment and the benediction. I said, well, I don't know when I'm going to stop. How will you know when to get these guys here? And he said, don't worry about that. I'll see to that. Don't worry about it. I said, okay. And sure enough, we had the commitment. Dust to dust, ashes to ashes. You remember all that? Commit the body of our brother to the Lord. Insurance, certain hope of the resurrection. You know, the burial service. Then we had a brief prayer. Then we had the benediction. And as soon as the benediction was over, you could hear the thump, 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 thump of the helicopters. And sure enough, they flew over, right over our heads, low, in the formation of the missing comrade. And I turned to the guy in charge at the end of it. I said, how'd you do it? How did you do that? Oh, he said, it was easy. And he pulled out his walkie-talkie. And he said, I had the formation just in a holding pattern, just over the horizon. And when you were coming to the end of your prayer, I said, okay, boys, bring them in. And for 2,000 years, God has been on his walkie-talkie and he's been saying to Jesus, just stay in that holding pattern. Just stay over the horizon. And one of these days, he'll say, okay, son, go get him.
What can you know for sure about the return of Jesus? That's what Stuart Briscoe is talking about on today's Telling the Truth, and he's coming right back with more. At the all-new TellingTheTruth.org website, it's easier than ever to listen, read, watch, download, and share messages from the Briscoes. Go deeper with relevant Bible teaching to help you know Christ and experience fullness of life. Visit TellingTheTruth.org today. And remember, you can also give there to help keep the teaching you love on air and online. Again, it's TellingTheTruth.org, TellingTheTruth.org. Now we head back to Stuart Briscoe.
You say, this is too weird. This is too strange. I want you to notice what Jesus said. I tell you the truth, this generation will certainly not pass away until all these things have happened. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. Some of you may be inclined to think, I try to read your minds when I'm talking to you and try to answer what's in your mind. Some of you, as I'm trying to read your minds, are saying, you know, I'm really skeptical about all this. Stuart, very, very often you talk quite a lot of sense. But you're not having a good day today. I mean, I'm not sure how you got off into all this stuff, but something is not quite right. I mean, usually you tell us about stuff that's going to help us when we go back to work or we go back to our families. And, you know, it's practical stuff, but all this is so far out. So far. That's what you're thinking, isn't it? Don't nod your heads, I can tell. Maybe you're asking yourself, why in the world do you believe all this? Why in the world do you believe all this? And there's a very simple answer. In fact, I'm delighted you asked me. Heaven and earth, Jesus said, will pass away, but my words will never pass away. That's why I believe it, because Jesus said it, and I believe he told the truth. Jesus said it, and I believe he told the truth. This is very important. I suppose a lot of you have been to see the movie, The Chronicles of Narnia, and if you haven't, you've suddenly heard about it, and suddenly some of you have heard for the first time in your lives about C.S. Lewis. All right? Now, I was fortunate. I was kind of raised on C.S. Lewis. I think I've read his books as soon as they came off the press. And I've loved C.S. Lewis books for 40 or 50 years. One of my favorites, he has a great thing in it. This is what he says. A lot of people want to dismiss Jesus as a good teacher, as a great teacher. But he said, you can't do that. You can't do that. He said, for one reason, he wasn't a very great teacher in this sense that most of his disciples didn't get what he was teaching. So that's not a very good teacher. So don't simply settle for Jesus being a good teacher. In actual fact, Jesus didn't claim to be a good teacher. He made outstanding, outrageous claims. I mean, here's some of them. I will return. It will be the end of the age. I will gather the elect from the four winds, and the nations will see me and mourn. These are just, I'm just a little sample of some of the things that he said. Now, these outrageous claims of Jesus, as we take them and listen to them, we've got to ask ourselves a question. He was either right or wrong. Are you with me? I mean, these claims of Jesus, he was either right or wrong. Now, Lewis says, just for the sake of argument, let's assume he was wrong. Why would Jesus make these outlandish, outrageous claims when he was wrong? And he said there are only two possibilities. Either he was a liar. A liar. He knew it. He knew it wasn't right. He was just telling people a bunch of lies. Either he was a liar or he was a lunatic. He was nuts. He said, in fact, if Jesus was telling these things and they weren't true, he was either a liar or a lunatic. And if he's a lunatic, Lewis says, we must put him in the category of the man who says, I am a poached egg. Have you ever met anybody who claims to be a poached egg? Do you take him seriously? You say, oh no, he's got a problem. If Jesus was not telling the truth in these outlandish, outrageous claims, if he was not telling the truth, he was either a liar or a lunatic. Are you prepared to say he was a liar? You willing to write him off as a lunatic? Well, there's another possibility, of course, and that is he wasn't wrong. He was right. And if he was right, he's not a liar. He's not a lunatic. He's the Lord. Lewis lays it out beautifully. Don't say Jesus is a good teacher. He never claimed to be a good teacher. He claimed to be the Son of God with authority from on high, who would come again and bring all things to a glorious consummation. And in claiming to come again and bring all things to a glorious consummation, he was either wrong or right. And you and I decide. Was he a liar? Was he a lunatic? Or was he the Lord? I choose to believe he was the Lord. And because I choose to believe that he is the Lord, I cannot treat what he taught with selective indifference. I cannot take the bits I like and ignore the bits I don't like. And so I take what he says and I say, Jesus, it seems to me what you're telling me is this, you will come again. And the other thing you're telling me is this, you don't know when it will be. Hence the title of my talk, and this is hardly the place to give you the title of the talk at the end, but the title of my talk is The Uncertain Certainty of the Second Coming. The Uncertain Certainty of the Second Coming. That he would come again is certain. When he will come again, even he doesn't know. Neither do you. That doesn't stop some people, incidentally, writing books, telling us when he will come again. And some of them have even had the audacity to say, Jesus said that no man knows the day or the hour. We're not claiming to know the day or the hour. We're just telling you which month and year he'll come. That is outrageous. Many books have been written by these people, and how people have the audacity to write them, I don't know. But what amazes me even more, why people will part with good money to buy them and read them. One of these books came out not long ago. Friends of mine bought it. Boy, this guy had figured out exactly the year and the month when he would come. And he says, I'm not claiming the day or the hour. I'm just giving you the month and the year when it is. And of course, it went by and nothing happened. Amazing thing about it was this. This guy didn't return the royalties. And he didn't write another book and say, oh dear, I've got egg on my tie. He just went and wrote another book. But what amazed me was some of my friends. You know what they did? They ignored the fact that Jesus said, no one knows the day or the hour when I will come. And they believed this book. And because they believed this book, they took their kids out of school and they went on a round-the-world cruise. You know why? Because they'd always wanted to do it and now they had to get it in before Jesus came. And you know why there's a certain uncertainty about the return of Christ? There's a certainty because we need it to know what's happening and know what's going to happen. So we've got a rock under our feet.
This is Telling the Truth. And you've just heard Stuart Briscoe with his message, The Uncertain Certainty of Christ's Return. Stuart will be right back with a final thought for the day. We want you to know that when you give to help Telling the Truth stay on the air, you empower more listeners like Robin, to experience abundant life in Christ. Robin recently shared on Facebook, I've just finished listening to the Briscoe's teaching on the Holy Spirit for the fourth time. It's been life-changing. I've been a Christian for 29 years, and it has just now sunk in why I've been running in place. It was there all the time in God's Word. Thank you for helping me see it. And right now, when you give, so more people like Robin can hear Telling the Truth on air and online, we'll say thanks by sending you Pete Briscoe's 6-message teaching series on the end times, How the Story Ends. Call now to get your copy of this powerful resource and discover what God's Word says about the chaotic days we're living in and how we should be living now before the last days come. 1-800-889-5388. 1-800-889-5388. Now, here's Stuart with one last thought about the uncertain certainty of Christ's return.
And you know why there's a certain uncertainty about the return of Christ? There's a certainty because we need it to know what's happening and know what's going to happen. So we've got a rock under our feet. But there's an uncertainty to it because God knows that we're probably inclined to goof off until the last minute if we know when he's coming. Rather like college students who are told 3 months in advance, you have a paper on this subject due on such and such a date. And so we all know what college students do. They say, oh, good. That gives me 21 days to carefully think this thing through and to prepare, gather material, and gradually write it and do a first draft and edit it and then do a second draft and a third. That's what they do, right? No. My understanding is the 20 days, they goof off and they pull an all-nighter. They pull an all-nighter. And that's precisely why Jesus said, as far as the would come again is concerned, that's certain. As far as the when is concerned, it's totally uncertain. So be absolutely convinced he will come and stay on the tiptoe of anticipation. The certainty says, I will plan my life as if he won't come for another 2,000 years. On the understanding that I'll live every day, assuming it could be the big one. And there's the balance between the two towers. We look back and see that he has come. We look forward, we see that he will come again, and we're suspended between the two, living in the glad enjoyment of his first coming, the keen anticipation of his second coming.
That's Stuart Briscoe on today's Telling the Truth. One last reminder, we want to send you Pete Briscoe's 6-message teaching series on end times, How the Story Ends, to thank you for giving to help Telling the Truth stay on the air. If you've never taken advantage of this opportunity to give, please prayerfully consider giving a donation today to help more people like you, know Christ and experience life in Him. Call now to give and get your copy of How the Story Ends. 1-800-889-5388. 1-800-889-5388. Tune in tomorrow as Stuart Briscoe shares how you can more fully grasp God's love when you see it against the backdrop of His holiness. Experience life Friday on Telling the Truth.